This podcast may contain adult language and themes, or it might not. We're not really sure. We haven't recorded it yet.
I'm Jason.
I'm Diggs.
I make software, music, and podcasts.
I connect people, personally and professionally, and I like talking with Jason.
This is the Candy Factory 5x5 podcast.
Five conversations.
Five random topics.
5 minutes each.
When we hear this sound,
we move on to the next topic. Next.
On every episode, we invite a very special guest to join us.
Hi, this is Brad Hunt. I'm a member here at Candy Factory. I work for a Belgium-based manufacturer of acoustical and vibration isolation products.
What exactly is your title? I know you do that, so that wasn't a
surprise. My official title is sales and project engineer.
Okay.
So kind of do a little bit of everything, sales to actually designing like layouts for, for floating floors and ceilings and stuff like
It's fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
I call you guys acousticians. I don't know if that's proper.
Yeah.
Is that good? Is that word?
Yeah,
it's a good word, right?
Floating floor real quick. What is
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Dig into that.
So we do like recording studios, gym fitness applications. So basically you're just floating a like what we call a plywood raft or even a concrete slab over rubber isolators.
Oh, okay.
So it's literally floating, and yeah.
Cool.
That's great to have you on the program.
Yeah,
thank you. Thanks for doing this. So this is 5x5, episode 15, and I have a proclamation. I don't even know if that's the right word, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm listening to 5x5, and of course, Melody introduces every show by saying we can say there might be adult language. Then I beep the words out.
Oh, yeah.
It's completely counterintuitive.
There have actually been a few instances where you haven't.
I know.
Yes.
Well, I'm done.
Okay.
I'm not going to bother with that shit.
That's, ooh.
That was for you.
It'd be great, actually, if you bleep that one.
Yeah, maybe I will. Just for kicks.
Yep.
Anyway, so you've been warned.
Again.
Yeah. Every single time you listen to this show. Episode 15, 5x5. Frank the iPad is going to dial up five random topics. We are going to talk about them for 5 minutes each. We're going to hear a little music. We're going to move on. That's the way it works. And here we go. Topic number one for this episode's 5x5 is...
Curse words. No.
Self-checkout.
Oh, wow.
I am against...
Oh, you're con.
He's con.
My wife, she has to like. There's got to be 30 people on the line. And she's like, "Can we just do self checkout?" And I'm like, "Okay."
But break that down.
I am the person that you put something. You know, you go to scan it, doesn't scan.
Oh,
you flip it 900 times. You put it down, and it's like something's been added to the like the weight sensor. Miscalculates, and then it's like I always have to get assistance. Like it's
not self-checkout for you.
No, it's
now I've got a call.
It's a blood pressure check. It's
they should have cuffs there.
I like that's the only time I consider stealing. Like really.
Diggs, where are you at with self-checkout?
For the most part, I'm pro. I feel like I don't typically buy enough stuff where I run into issues like that. However, the giant self-checkouts of old, like the first system they rolled out, that was terrible. Awful. It was so bad. I'm very happy they fixed it.
All right, so they have gotten better.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Miles better.
Holy moly.
Because, I had that problem. And I thought I was pretty good at about like the scanning because I, did it growing up. It was like fun to do that. I did that growing up. My mom was part of a co-op growing up, and so sometimes I would work the register with her. The scanning.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah, sorry. I was like, I should explain that. So I was like, I remember being good at that, and then the damn giant system came out, and I was like, what the fuck? it's recursing now. Oh, it pissed me off. But I don't mind it. Someone did make the argument to me about like it taking jobs away from cash register folks, which I buy that to a certain extent. I feel like for pharmacy, like CVS's in big cities, I would much prefer those cash register folks to be milling around to help me because I never can find anything.
So, that's true.
But like in the sense of like if you've been to like an Aldi, I feel like they've got a better system set up. to maintain. But they, I mean, they do it so they don't have to hire as many people
as
a grocery store. But yeah, they're timed and it's crazy.
So I put self-checkout in the same category as the whole we're not going to wash your towels for the environment thing in hotels.
Oh.
So you know how hotels, they've got these little signs now. I mean,
they make it sound like,
oh, it makes it sound like that they're like saving the planet. Like that, like that Hilton gives a shit about the planet, right? It's like, yeah, we're not going to wash, we're going to care for the planet. So unless you put the towel in the bathtub, we're not going to wash your towels for you.
And this angle.
Yeah, yeah. That is they are protecting the bottom line.
I'm
not the planet.
The one thing I would say, and I think that some places here have done, this has gone away from years, with the self-checkout, is they give you the gun. I think some places do that.
Yes.
And they did that in California, and like they would like offer me percentages off, like oh, you can get 10% off if you do this. And I'm like, no. I haven't done that yet, though.
So actually, I switched to, like, Giant has the system, and I, like, you have to sign up with your membership card or whatever, and then
you go around the store?
You go around the store with it, and you scan it into your basket.
And then when you go, you just plug the scanner in, and it brings up your total, and you pay, and you're supposed to walk
out. How does it know?
Yeah, because it, how does what know?
How does it know the weight?
It does. I don't think it does.
No, there's no weight check. Every like five or six times, someone would come and just like look for two items. So they like if they it would just say hold wait help us kind of the stupid assistance thing, but it would just be them like double checking that okay this item is here and this item is here.
You're good
and you're good.
We trust that you didn't steal that.
So I would probably do that because I think you can. There's ways to link it to like. So my issue with self-checkout is I get a lot of produce.
Totally, me too, and that's the problem.
Yeah. But I think with those guns, I think there's like a, if they're smart enough, at least the ones in California, you could do it at the weight, like where they have like the weight scale. And you could like do it and it would come up with a barcode and you could just scan it.
Yeah.
I would consider that, but I still just, I don't know. I'm old fashioned, I guess.
Well, I'm with you, Brad.
Well, I switched to that gun system for a while because I was frustrated with the self-checkout system. And the lines were always too long to wait for the regular people.
Right, and the line's too long because the self-checkout, and then they stop hiring people.
Right, yeah, catch-22. and then I let the membership lapse because I had to switch membership numbers with Giant for some reason.
Do they expire?
No, I lost the card, and it was the only card I had, and it was just like, they had...
That sounds like a nightmare.
It was...
I've kept mine. I don't have my card, but I just do a phone number.
I had never linked it to my phone number. It was linked to my email, so they were able to save the points. But
gotcha.
But then the gas station moved. That was the only reason I used the points anyway.
Anyway. Well, on that note, we're going to move to topic number two, which is milk. Regular, dry, or powdered?
See, I feel like we can link it back up, and I can start ranting about the damn Giant gas station. I won't.
So let me tell you about powdered milk. The Giant gas station is I can no longer use my points.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. What were the three?
Regular, dry, or powdered?
What's dry?
I have no idea.
I thought you guys decided last. It was like the evaporated. I thought that was the same as.
Well, powdered. Yeah, it's.
Yeah, because that's
so. There's only two: regular and non-regular.
I guess that's the question.
It could be skim.
Well, you have sweet and condensed.
You have condensed.
Oh, that's fair. Okay, so maybe it's regular thick and then like powder.
So do you like milk?
Yes, I prefer 2%. We would do condensed only. There's something mom made growing up that had condensed milk in it, but I don't remember what it was. I remember I liked it.
Fudge?
No, it wasn't fudge. I won't think of it. It's maybe some like cafe con leche type thing, but it wasn't actually. I don't like the sweetness of condensed milk on its own.
So you're not going to just do shots of condensed milk?
No. You don't powdered milk.
We've had this conversation, but what's powdered milk used for and how is it made?
I think it's just for.
I know we have it in our cupboard. It's
one of those ingredients that just gets used once and then the box sits there.
I mean, if I could phone a friend, I could call my wife. She'd probably tell me exactly what it's used for.
I think it was like a Depression era thing, wasn't it? Like because of lack of electricity and...
Can you re...
Because you can reconstitute it, which that's the point.
So it's like dehydrated milk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you can put water and then it turns back into milk.
Yep. Milkiness.
Yeah, it's I was going to say, there's no way that's any good.
But probably in the meantime, people have come up with recipes that use it.
It has to be.
Yeah. That's.
Do you like milk, Brad?
I don't mind it. I'm sensitive to dairy. Okay. So I usually waste my time on ice cream and cheese.
Right, right. If you're going to do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
But the one thing that I... So moving back here, we moved to Strasbourg, and there's a dairy farm down the street from us. And
oh, PA, not Europe.
Correct. Yeah, okay. Yeah, back to Pennsylvania. And get the milk from there. And this stuff, like, it goes bad, like, within a week. Like, mm-hmm. and curdles, like what I remember as a kid. Mm. And the stuff from the grocery store, it's like, you could open it and it'll last for a month.
Yeah.
And, like, we like to make, like, specialty coffees and try to froth the milk and stuff. And that's, like, we have to get that milk because it...
You have to get it from the dairy, the actual dairy. Yeah,
because it actually frosts the other stuff. It, like, bubbles and then it just goes...
Oh, who
the hell knows? It's like water. It's like... It,
who knows what's going on with the processing of milk? It's such a huge industry.
It is. That's a good point. And I always wondered, like, how can you keep track of, like... It, like, for those places that claim to have, like, this is the organic milk, but and this is the...
Well,
like,
it's a percentage. And it's not percentage based on the bottle, but it's a percentage based on what they have at their facility.
But that's what I'm saying. So, like, places that do both. So, like, Stony Brook, like, the expensive one that I remember growing up on it. And I remember there was the specialty, like, uber organic... There's Uber again. Uber organic, like... version, and then there was like the regular version that was cheaper, and I'm like, this seems scam.
It's probably like an internal procedure document that describes how they do it, but whether they follow it,
that's it. That's the question.
Yeah, I will give the milk industry props for one thing.
What?
Got milk.
they
killed it.
True.
What other industry of the same? How do I want to say this? Lack of excitement was able to come up with something that everybody parodied.
Yeah.
Right. And today, walking down the street, you could put "got" in front of something with that black and white design, and you'd know exactly what you're talking. They nailed that.
That's Wonder who.
What firm?
Well, it was and it was the dairy.
Well, yeah, the Dairy Farmers Association, whatever it would be.
That's who actually...
the dairy lobby. It's the cow from the Chick-fil-A commercials.
That's what basically, yeah. But no, I feel like that was one of those campaigns that that really... I'd love to see the numbers on sales increase or whatever, what changed as a result of it.
Me too.
I'm not a milk drinker, though, by the way.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I wonder what led to the campaign in the first place, because it did seem like... It must have been.
I feel like there was a decline,
right? Yeah,
there was an incline of powdered milk versus wet milk.
Buckets of powdered milk.
They had to reverse.
The thick
that.
Milk was getting like left behind.
It didn't give you the mustache.
Oh, yeah, the mustache. Oh, that's another. Was that got milk?
Yeah, that was part of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. Enough about milk. Topic number three. Today's 5x5. Something you like that most people hate.
Ooh.
Something you like that most people hate.
Oh boy.
Coconut?
Mm. Do most people like coconut?
I feel like it's like a 30-70% split.
It's a thing. It's definitely a thing. Do you like coconut?
I'm mildly allergic, so no.
So it's batting zero in this room because none of it. Well, you said you do
So I was right about a third. I feel like a third of the people I meet like it, and two thirds don't.
Yeah, I got my proportion upside down there.
No worries.
You're correct.
No.
Yeah. You like coconut?
Yeah, love it.
Wow.
Raw and that was a cooked strong. In the milk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everything.
It's a good one. How about you, Diggs?
I'm trying to think. I don't know.
Something you like that most people hate.
I'm still thinking about that.
I'm going to have to ponder that for a second. I didn't see this one coming.
Yeah.
But
I mean, we never see it coming.
It's a good point.
I could talk about the gas station in the meantime.
I feel like it might be something like professional wrestling.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
Do you like it?
Yeah. I like
it. Okay.
I mean, I don't ever watch it. I mean, I watch it as a kid or whatever. You know what I mean?
I think it's a generation thing for that. Yeah.
Professional wrestling was one of those things, though, that I did really, really like. And I don't know. I feel like maybe I was in a bubble when I really liked it to think that everybody else. Because I've made references to, like, Ric Flair and the Rock and Roll Express and these guys who I thought were celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
And people just look at me like they have no idea. Like, I have two heads.
Oh, I know Ric Flair. Who's the Rock and Roll Express?
Well, yeah, they were part of the whole.
Oh, that was his.
Like a group?
The Woo Crew.
They were like, yeah, I mean, later, more famous. I'm not going to even talk about wrestling because I don't know enough about them. I'm going to sound like an idiot. But back in the 80s, they were kind of a popular duo, tag team.
Gotcha, if you will.
Of wrestlers, yes, if you will.
Can I flip the question? Because I've got one. I cannot stand, like, the Sheetz Wah-Wah going to a gas station. This is an actual gas station thing. Going to a gas station for food. Like, going out of your way.
Oh,
like, okay. You don't need gas. You're just going for the food. Like,
no. Do you think most people don't like that?
No. I think most people like it because I'm usually the one that's like, I'm not going.
Because I was gonna say I'm all about it.
Oh,
see, where I grew up in Michigan and the gas stations, they had like the hot dog rollers and like that kind of stuff. So when I first moved here, people were like, oh, let's go to the gas station. And I was like, no, you don't go to the gas station for food. And I will say I'm kind of. I don't know if I would go out of my way. However, Wawa does have pretty good sandwiches.
Yeah.
But if there's a better deli,
I'm going to go
to the deli.
But you can't fill up your tank, the deli.
No, but that's the no. That's, I understand going to get gas and then food, or you know, food then gas, whatever. But no, I have friend that literally like, oh yeah, who wants to go to Sheetz?
Oh, that's me.
Yeah, but no.
My kids, I swear to God, probably until they were about 15, their Sheetz was their favorite restaurant. If you said, what's your favorite restaurant? My kids would say Sheetz.
My heart broke right there.
But you got to understand, for me, did you, in New York, growing up, did you have anything equivalent? You wouldn't have had that kind of store, right?
No, because you went to the bodega or the pizza shop or the diner or whatever. Right. Like, there was, like,
but you got to understand, where I grew up, Sheetz came into town in the late 70s.
Mm.
That's when it started in Altoona, Pennsylvania, and I'm from near there. It was like a family corner store, mm-hmm. you know.
Oh.
And by the 70s, it was a gas station convenience store that had moved into my area, and by the 80s, MTOs had arrived.
What?
MTO.
Made to order.
That's what that stands for.
Back in those days.
Yeah, I did the same thing for years.
But back in those days, it was a tablet and golf pencils. Is how you would order.
Oh wow!
Oh.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
So they kept the tablet, but it's digitized now.
So it's digitized tablet. So when I was in high school, I'd get a sandwich every morning before school. Mm. Stop at Sheetz, buy cigarettes, and you buy an MTO, and the tablet right was it you know just like you'd peel off a sheet of paper, grab a golf pencil, you'd check off what you wanted on your sandwich, and put it through a slot, and Mrs. Dobransky was on the other side of the of the glass. And she would take the thing and make your sandwich for you. And that's Mike's mom. Buddy Mike.
Not Frank.
No, not Frank. It's my buddy Mike's mom. Mrs. Dobransky. No, she made our sandwiches.
That takes me back to I know this is moving off of, but it's related. En Bon Pan, the bakery sandwichy place, depending on which one you go to, they still do the paper, like, fill out for, like, sandwiches.
Uh-huh.
Because I prefer if they make it fresh, because I hate the ones that I usually get wraps, and then wraps when they sit in the fridge. Yeah. That doesn't really work. But sometimes I'll fill out the paper and they'll go, oh, there's like three of them over there. It's like, I know. Please make this. Maybe that's one thing I like that people don't like, au bon pain.
Could you say that one more time for me?
Au bon pain.
Beautiful. Sounds beautiful. Oh, look at that. Topic number four for this episode's 5x5 is swear words.
Oh.
Jesus fucking Christ.
How did we plan that?
Was this just like your favorite?
It's just, what do you think about them?
Are you pro?
Are you pro swear?
I'm very pro.
Are you
pro.
A swear, Brad?
I am. Yeah. I recently have tried not to as much.
Yeah.
But yeah. At home, yeah.
I mean, some people are, some people aren't. You know what I mean? Yeah. Some people just don't. Sort of, you know, say those words, and some people feel it's a, you know, sort of makes you sound stupid or whatever. You know, if you say those words a lot. I'm a sailor. I mean, I grew up in it. You know, my It wasn't. By the time I was in middle school, like we were just all.
Yeah.
We were just swearing every other word.
I think what brought me into it, I remember fifth grade was when South Park came out, and that just ruined it for me.
You're not the first person I've heard say that.
You're 10 years old and watching that, you know, sneaking around watching that and trying to get away with what you can.
Well, that's what does it, right? You hear adults swearing, and then there's R-rated movies where they say words you're quote-unquote not supposed to say, so of course you want to say it.
Mm-hmm.
So then when you're with your pals, it's like that's exactly what you do.
Yeah.
And then it just becomes a thing.
Yeah. I cursed in front of my mom the last time I was in New York. Maybe I'd cursed in front of her before. Not at her. It was something else that happened, and I was mad about it. And so I don't remember what I said. But I vaguely remember just like the split second of like, on her face. And she was just like, oh.
Wait. You're an adult.
Right.
Yeah, you're kind of
Because my dad would swear, but my mom not so much. Grandparents not so much. So, yeah, like I cuss in front of them, and it's like you kind of like I even have that reaction. It's like, oh shit, what did I just do?
Right.
Yeah. Well, I always felt the thing about swearing that as my kids grew up, it was very interesting to see it from that side, right? Because you're trying to teach time and place, right? You're trying to teach this appropriateness of using certain language, and you know, I would use their grandmother as an example and just be like, if you're in mixed company, if you don't know who you're with. Pretend your grandmother's in the room. You know what I mean? Because she would get all worked up, right? But otherwise, you're fine. And they were like middle school age, and I was, we were driving down the street one day, and I was just like, you guys swear? You know, they're like, man, I don't know, sixth grade. They're like, no. I'm like, come on. I'm like, come on, you don't swear? And they're like, no. And I'm like, your friends swear? Well, some of them do, you know. Some kids say stuff on the bus, right? I'm like, you don't, never. And they're like, no. And I'm like, say fuck. They're like, no. See, wouldn't do it.
Well, that's not the one I would have picked first.
Wow. Okay. Maybe but I did go. I went too far.
Talking about time and place, though, one of my favorite things though, is when like a little kid.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Swears. But when they use it correctly.
Yes.
I love that. My niece, when she was 2, we went and picked her up and from daycare, and it was like a horrible storm. And like, I mean, it was one of the hurricanes that like, it was just a quick passing, like trees falling down and stuff. Mm-hmm. This was a couple of years ago in the summer. Yeah, yeah. And every like lightning crash or like something, like a branch would fall and you just hear from the backseat, oh shit. And I was just dying laughing.
Oh man.
It is funny. And I think it's just because we've made it such a, I always thought that if we all just agreed that it wasn't a bad word. Like, if we all just agree that these words weren't bad.
And that's, I mean.
Because I did try to teach my kids that hateful language wouldn't be tolerated.
Right.
Like, if I heard them being racist or being bigoted or being sexist or whatever, then they're going to get in trouble. But if they said shit in front of me, I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to say it anyway. Like, it's right around the corner. but if you say something hatefully, you're going to get in trouble.
But it's probably a good idea to teach them proper use or time and place, your surroundings, things like that.
Yeah, you have to be respectful that other people aren't that may be offended by it or that you don't want to say
self-control.
Right, exactly.
Right. But then there's like the bubble words. So like damn and heck and hell, and it's like the folks that consider those like really bad curse words, and another like I grew up if I remember right, I'm pretty sure damn and heck were like okay.
Heck was good. Yeah.
But hell, I couldn't say hell.
No.
Especially not if it had anything to do anywhere close to religion.
right.
Yeah. I remember my grandmother chewing me out about that.
It does change because when I was a kid, saying pissed off or you son of a bitch or something like that would have been just as bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it evolved over time.
Yeah.
Like to where certain words sort of started to become more acceptable.
Right.
Like
ass
is a great example.
And because like I grew up saying dead ass in New York, and I never ass part never clicked to me as like that's the bad word.
The same ass,
right?
But there's like sometimes like I've seen on TV shows or something that they'll like say asshole and they bleep out Hulk, because like that combination like, or something of that sort. Like it's Like,
well, that is dumb.
Because, like, ass by itself isn't a problem, but it's like the whole. I don't know.
Before we move on to topic number five, I have to say I picked the right episodes to stop beeping out.
This yes.
Because we wouldn't have been able to understand anything we just said.
That's true.
Topic number five, the final topic on this episode's 5x5 is tipping. Tipping.
Like,
not cows.
Waitress. Like, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, the tipping culture of America. I mean, I think it just drives me up a wall. It just drives me up. Well, can't we just pay people good rates and not bother with it? Seriously?
I feel like there should be like a blip of like applause right after you say that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, and it's to the point now where the McDonald's drive through they got a tip cup out and, you know, all these different, like everybody's got tip cups.
I love the square, like you pay and then they flip the screen and then it's like real big. Like, what do you want to tip? It's like, it should just be like, do you want to be an asshole or do you want to like...
Right.
And it's like, it's a coffee. Like, I'm sorry. Like,
right. Or the places where they'll do like the dollars for that as opposed to percentage when really it should be
the opposite.
Yeah. I feel like there's got to be something that can fix that.
I will say though, the new systems with the receipts where you can just check the 15% and it has a total already done for that. I like that math.
That is useful.
If we've got a tip, that's a great way to go instead of doing the whole math.
And I think they do that more in like obviously bigger cities, but like where tourism, where people aren't used to tipping and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That makes sense. A good point. But I just think the whole culture, this whole tipping culture has just gotten out of control. And I mean, look, if I'm traveling to a new place, I went to Mexico recently and I spent half the time on my phone trying to figure out who the hell I tip, what I tip, doing conversion rates.
Yep.
Now I'm complaining about Mexico, but I'm really, you know, this is really our culture that I'm saying just seems like it's out of control.
Yeah, but I remember being in the UK the first time and I got I got a beer, I think it was like £4 something. And so I had like a £5 note and then a pound coin. So I just left it all. And then the guy's like, hey, you left your change. Like, no, it's for you. It's like, what?
Yeah, they but they almost kind of, like some people I think take offense.
Which
I don't know why.
He actually explained this to me though. So he was saying that to them it seems like you are saying they're poor and that you need this extra money. And so he thankfully was just like, let me explain this to you because he realized that I wasn't British. So he was like, oh, you're American. Okay, here's
the deal.
Yeah,
but we got to educate all you guys. Come over here.
But you go to. I mean, I love the European experience of like not being pressured to leave restaurants and stuff.
Yes.
But once you've experienced like sitting down at a table and not getting like you're just thirsty for like a beer or even just a water and like they don't even come to you.
I know, it takes forever.
That's where I think the tipping is beneficial because now it's an incentive-based service.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's where it has its benefits. But yeah,
You know, you just made you brought up a point. Is the service industry in Europe actually fully salaried? And therefore, because tipping is pretty much necessary because of the crap, like, hourly wage.
Well, I think that they meet the minimum, at least the minimum wage. Like, they don't have a separate minimum wage like we do. Like California is like that, though, where, I mean, their minimum wage is, what, like 13 or 14 bucks an hour right now? But they don't have a separate minimum wage for waiters and waitresses.
Oh, so in California, they're making...
Yeah, so if you ever make it to LA, don't ever tip 20%.
Because they're 10, rolling 10, in it.
10, 15% is fine.
I mean, it's LA, though, so they might... That's true. The cost of living is a little bit high, but I get your point.
what's the worst tipping that you... Meaning, you know, what's the worst... The thing that you do that you think this is ridiculous that I'm tipping?
Oh, I never know when I'm picking up food.
Yes! That's a tough one.
Because my rule has become, so like Espinos, Ramon, if you're listening, I mean, you know this because we've talked about this, but my rule is like, if I'm going to this place a lot, like I'm not tipping every time. I'm sorry. Like, I love y'all, but I'm in quotes, I'm doing the work of coming to pick the food up and this is just a transaction.
Right.
But if I have cash, I'll leave. Mm-hmm. A tip if I've got cash, but I won't do it. I'm not like don't be expecting it consistently.
The so working in restaurants, like if you go to like, yeah, like a pizza shop, I don't think it's a problem. Sometimes every once in a while, like if I get a big order, I'll leave a couple bucks.
Oh, yes. Big orders.
Stuff like that. Yes. But if it's like just like a host or something like that,
yeah,
that,
take
like, out. That puts the stuff together like at a restaurant and gives it to you, like I don't think that's a problem. But if a like a waiter or waitress actually takes their time out of to like package it, then I feel like you should give them a little bit because like they are, you know, like a host or something like that is making at least a normal minimum wage. But
how would I know? That's a problem.
Yeah, you don't know, and it's just a.
That's a fair point, though.
It's tough.
But yeah, if you don't go back there, it's okay. You're not going to get spit in your food, so don't tip.
That's a good point. Yeah, you got to be careful. You got to be careful out there.
It should just be changed. It shouldn't be necessary.
That's what I
think
say.
We can agree on.
I think we should agree that that all swear words are not bad and that nobody should tip and everybody should just be paid for
and
it.
Like, not to drag this out, but like in Europe and stuff like cabs and even in Mexico, like the rule of thumb is to just round up. And so like
to the whole dollar.
That should probably be the rule of thumb for taking out. Just round up.
I'm okay with that.
Fastest 25 minutes in podcast.
Zing.
Already over. I feel like we're just getting started.
Yeah.
That's it. 5x5. Thanks, Brad, so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
The Candy Factory 5x5 podcast is recorded at the studios of The Candy Factory, a co-working campus in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
The show is produced and hosted by Jason Mundock,
along with co-host Robert Diggs, regularly joining the Yakety Yakking.
The opinions and views expressed on this podcast are solely those of the expressor.
The Candy Factory is not in any way responsible if anyone said something stupid.
Our theme music was composed
and recorded by a really cool guy.
Really cool guy.
A really cool guy.
Really cool guy named John Chin.
Relevant links and show notes can be found on the show post
at the Candy Factory website.
CoworkingInLancaster.com.
Maybe that's it.
Is that it? Okay.